We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hello everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast. Today, Lindsay and I are going to be talking about Christmas, which feels doubly weird because when you guys are listening to it, it's September, but when we're recording it is July.
I feel I should burst in a song with jingle bells at that point, but you know, I don't want everyone to switch off.
But it's actually the perfect time to be thinking, if not really planning, about, you know, planning all the things that you need to be getting done for the busiest period of the year for your handmade business, because it is the busiest period of the year. So we have quite a plethora of things to talk about, and hopefully this will be like a proper how to make notes kind of episode where we will spark some kind of thought in your head and be like, yeah, I can, you know, I haven't thought about doing that. But to be honest, I really would grab a piece of pen and paper. A piece of paper and a pen would be good. Mm. And literally just make a note of the things that we're going to talk about, because this isn't just something that you're going to do this year either. This is going to be something that you're going to do every year for Christmas. So the best way I think to start off with is to say that every single thing that we're going to talk about should be planned out by a certain date. So you'll know where you need to be by which date or which week, or I mean, it's a bit vague to say month, but overall by which month you need to have certain things done by. So what I recommend for that is you get a wall planner with some big boxes that you can write things in that you can stick on your wall and you can see always, rather than having to flip through a planner, like a book planner. You can see it all on the wall. Do you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. And one of the things that I like to really think about is, because when you are really busy with, you know, your normal day-to-day makes, you've suddenly got to think, how can I fit in making Christmas stock as well? So one of the things that I find that works really well is to try and carve out a little bit of time in your week for starting to make Christmas stock.
Yeah, definitely. Even if you have a dedicated day or afternoon or evening, whatever it is. I mean, I don't want to push people to work in the evening, but I mean, if you're enjoying making at the end of the day, it's not going to feel like a chore. So definitely have an understanding of where you need to be, not for like some added pressure of, oh, if you go past that day, I'm a failure, I've not done it by this point. It's not about that. It's just about giving yourself, almost alleviating some pressure, in fact, because definitely, you know what you've got to do. And being organized should make you feel better.
Definitely.
Now, I know, Lindsay, that you've got an excellent point to make before we begin anything. And I hadn't even considered this, but it is an amazing point. So
I'm sharing this from the point of view that quite often Christmases in the past have involved me running around like a headless chicken, very stressed. So this year I have been attempting to turn over a new leaf with my Christmas shopping, because if you don't get organised with your own Christmas shopping, what can happen as a handmade business owner is that you're absolutely run off your feet with your own business and getting all these orders done and out and posted. And all of a sudden, in amongst your busiest time, you're trying to do your own Christmas shopping, probably go to different activities that hopefully now will be a bit more back to normal, fingers crossed with the whole COVID thing, that you know, there'll be all these activities that we'll be wanting to do more than ever this year as well, because we couldn't do them last year. And, you know, when you've got your own Christmas shopping to do on top of that, and then all the wrapping, for me, that just, it adds a big layer of stress. So one of the things that I've been doing this year to turn over this new leaf and stop the headless chicken run around at Christmas has been to, I've been buying items from the virtual fairs that I've been running every month. And I found that has been, you know, I'm starting to get, I allocated myself a cupboard in the house. So I have a Christmas cupboard now. And I've got presents in there that are building up nicely. You know, it's amazing, you know, what you can do when you just start buying a few items every month. It really, it all does add up. So I know that as Christmas comes, that will make life a lot easier. The one thing I've not really done properly yet is wrapping. I am a bit of a last minute wrapper, so I really still need to work on that. But just to really get you thinking about buying early and getting organized can just take away a bit more of the stress that comes with running a handmade business at Christmas. Do you agree, Anna?
Yes. And I also think the point that I made to your point was that it also gives you a really nice opportunity to buy from other handmade sellers in a non-rushed, stressed manner.
Yeah.
You can really take the time to look at a variety of different sellers. Whereas if you're doing it lastminute.com and you're also busy with your own handmade business, it might be a little bit harder to really focus on buying from other handmade sellers. So doing it nicely like this, it's giving you, for me, and you could think about, oh, I'll save that in my basket for somebody's birthday, or, you know, something like that. It just makes it a nicer process, because it should be an enjoyable time buying gifts for people. Yeah. So absolutely take advice from Lindsay and do this.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm so excited to, like, gift all these handmade items at Christmas. That just makes it feel really good, and it's making me really excited to do that Christmas.
Yeah, definitely, because you've taken the time, not that you haven't taken time before, but I mean, you'll feel better about it because you've done it in a calm headspace.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think the reason as well that we wanted to mention that is because this whole period is stressful. It is stressful. Even if you are the calmest person with the most level mind, the Christmas period for your handmade business is stressful. So the most that you can do to alleviate some of the other pressures that you'll also have to do at the same time, such as Christmas shopping, the better. But I think it might also just be interesting to note that it's a good idea to make sure that you are keeping a track of how you're feeling, because you don't want to get burnt out.
That's so, really true.
For me, Christmas is the time when I am most likely to get burnt out. Not just the making, it's not just the making and the shipping, which obviously, you know, if you've got a lot of orders, that can burn you out because you can be going for hours every day. But it's also a lot of questions from customers. So your customer service is tripled, if not quadrupled. Then there's maybe issues with delivery, all those kinds of things. You need to be keeping a check of yourself. So even getting a self-care routine in place in advance that you can then just keep on top of whilst you're in the Christmas busy season and for the future, it's a good idea.
Yeah, great advice there, Anna.
Yeah. So if we begin though, so I hope you've got your pen and paper ready. And I mean that about pen and paper, literally we're going to talk about so many different things. So the first thing is knowing the dates. So this isn't the dates of when you want to get things done. It's knowing the actual dates of the different celebrations. So a bit like a celebrations calendar, but you can also add these to your wall planner. You know, this is something that should be up there so you know exactly when they're happening. So I'll talk about maybe the more specific dates, and then I will pass over to Lindsay to talk a bit more about the handmade online dates. So you've got things like Black Friday, obviously, and with that comes Cyber Monday. those period, that weekend is, except for the very last week before Christmas, the most busiest time of my handmade business year. It's, I mean, last year's was, and the year before, was ridiculous. And so you need to be aware of when those dates are so that you can put everything else into place. There's Thanksgiving. A lot of American people buy gifts for Thanksgiving as well. Obviously, there's Christmas Day, Boxing Day sales. And then the first week into January, if not sometimes the entirety of January, can also be quite a busy period because people will be buying for gifts they forgot, or buying for gifts that they got and they didn't get for somebody, or something's not arrived, or they're exchanging something, or somebody didn't like something and they're getting something else. All those kinds of things happen in the first month. So it isn't just about November, December. It's November, December, January, if not a bit of October as well, to be honest. So understanding those dates. But Lindsay, if we can just move on to you to talk about more of the creative markets.
So yeah, so it's definitely good to be aware of, you know, what have you got coming up? So have you booked an in-person craft fair? Have you got some virtual craft fairs booked? So, you know, I run virtual craft fairs over on the Handmade Craft Fair page, and I'm still taking applications for those. So please feel free to, you know, apply for those. I've got two in November and one in December. But, you know, when it comes to things like virtual fairs, you know, sometimes I don't think people realise just how organised you need to be, because you need to think about, just like you would be if you were going to a real fair, you need to think about, you know, having your stock ready. You'll need to work on photographs and things like that. So you'll still need to have everything in place to be ready for those fairs, you know, even if it's one that you're doing online. And there's lots of different virtual fairs online as well. So, you know, being really prepared, you know, like with a calendar, like Anna has said, and, you know, working towards those dates with your stock can really, really help.
What do you think, Lindsay, are the benefits to taking part in the Handmade Craft Fair, for example?
So I suppose for me, so I've done lots of in-person fairs, big fairs, little fairs, and everything in between. And I've, you know, done big shows at Christmas and all sorts. And it can be really great doing big fairs and little fairs, but it takes a lot of time and effort to go out to a real fair. There's a lot of stuff. And, you know, sometimes you can end up in a fair you think is going to be really good, and there'll be a trickle of people. And you've put all this like time and effort into going to an in-person fair, and you don't always get the results. Whereas online, you know, as long as you've got your stock there and, you know, you're all organised for the fair. Actually, on the day, you know, you haven't got to sit in a cold village hall or a big fair or whatever. I've done like fairs outside in like a marquee in December. Not quite sure why I thought that was a good idea. But, you know, with my hand warmers and my snow boots, you know, you can be in the comfort of your own home and making and just checking in on the fair, you know, without actually having to set all that time aside, you know, a really busy time of the year. So, you know, because you might, otherwise you might have children that you'd have to get looked after and transport. There's a whole host of things to think about when you actually go to a real fair, whereas there's a lot less in that way when you're doing an online fair. So for me, you know, I can still be busy working away on my orders and stuff like that with, you know, without having to leave the house. So, you know, in the minute you get an order through, you can start packing it up, you know. So for me, that they're kind of the benefits. And I think a lot of the time as well, like, it can really boost your followers on social media. And one of the things that the people taking part in my fairs really love is that I put them into little Instagram teams of like five or six, and they make really good friendships a lot of the time. And they, some of the time, the people carry on with those little groups. So as well as all of that going on for the fair, the selling, there's the buy part of that is that you can make some really nice friends and, you know, out of it as well, which is really nice when you're running a handmade business on your own.
Yeah, definitely. It's like accountability and all that kind of, so speaking to somebody who gets it, because not everybody, and we've talked about this before, how when you're a handmade seller, you could speak to a family or a friend, even a very close friend, but they don't have a handmade business. They don't understand. No. Simple as that. They can be very supportive of you and they can really push you forward and say, I believe in you, but they don't get it.
No, absolutely.
No fault to them. No. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
So yes, it's nice to have that you're giving, you know, like you say, an extra bonus of them being able to meet new people who are in the same boat. So if somebody did want to go and find out about how to get involved, where should they go, Lindsay?
So I've got links from all my Instagram pages. There'll be a link there to click on to apply for the fairs, or visit my website. There's a page on there that's dedicated to the Christmas fairs, and then there's one for normal fairs as well.
Right. And what do people need? Is it just photographs and like a bio? What do people need?
So how the fairs work for me is that each person taking part has a carousel post on my page, which is one of the posts where you swipe across. So everyone can have up to 10 photos and there can be multiple photos within that. So people are required to put the prices on their photos, and then they write on their post, they'll have all the information about them as a seller and how to buy from them, any discounts and things like that. But there's lots of support that I give. So, you know, sometimes people might, you know, be in a panic thinking about it. So I have like a seller handbook that has everything in that you need to know, take part in the fair. And then I have like some little video tutorials. So if you've never put text on a photo before, I'll show you how to do that in Canva on a video. I've also show you how to do it on an app if you don't, you know, if you haven't got a laptop and you need to do it more on a phone. I've got a little video on how to create an Etsy discount, if you know, because some people hadn't always done that in the past. So there's lots of little tutorials as well that come as part of it. So I like to think of my fairs as not just a fair, but also training to take part in a fair as well. So I like to tell people I'm there to virtually hold their hand every step of the way.
You said that you've got 2 in November and 1 in December to take part in. That's right. Okay, moving on then, because I think that those are the things that we're planning for. We're planning for the dates, we're planning for the online handmade craft fair, we're planning for maybe some in-person fairs that you might already do every year. So we're planning for all those things. What are we needing to do though? So now let's get into the nitty gritty of what needs to be done. The first thing I think that you need to be on top of is understanding what's in your inventory. By that, I mean your raw materials, your supplies. What do you have in surplus and what are you really running low on? And if you've got this big boost in sales for that period of time, and I'm saying if, but, you know, we'll think positively, you will have that big boost in sales. What things you may think you have an okay amount of, but actually you might run out of. And that's as simple as sellotape. Last year, I ran out of sellotape, and I don't like to have to use so much sellotape because I know it's bad for the environment, but I have to until there's a kinder product that I can use. And I think I've told this story before, but one year, I think it was Christmas 2017 or 18, I had a label that was stuck on the front of my parcel, and it was a tracked label, and it got to the States and it disappeared. And then eventually it was sent back to me without the front label, just my return address label on the back. So what had happened was the label had obviously come off. Now I had to refund that customer. Now I know it was only one label, but I had noticed that the label was lifting a little bit. Now, I think it's possibly because my parcels are quite shiny, and with the sticky of the label, the stickiness wasn't quite sticking good enough, let's just put it like that. But it scared the living daylights out of me. Oh. And I thought, I cannot have that happening ever again. So now I sellotape the edges of my labels. Yes, it's an extra thing I've got to do. I've got so used to it now, I'm doing it in my sleep. I can just do it. It doesn't even bother me. But I ran out of sellotape last year and I needed that sellotape and I could not get it anywhere because obviously, you know, COVID was here.
Yeah.
As it still is, but it was really, you know, it was prominent at Christmas. And so there was nothing in Morrison's. Was Hobbycraft closed? I feel like Hobbycraft was closed. Yeah, Hobbycraft was closed. So, and Amazon had nothing online and there was nothing. Now, luckily, I have, and I've said this before, I have an excellent relationship with my post office. And he managed to go to his supplier that he gets his sellotape into the post office shop. And he actually bought me a box. So now I'll never run out of sellotape again. But it was that, what it was, something that I hadn't even thought about that I needed, that I ran out of. Luckily, I had a contact. But if you don't have a contact, it's a bit of a sticky situation if, you know, you can't get hold of it again. So you need to be understanding every single minute material that you're going to be using. Do you have enough?
Yeah.
Do you have any things like that? Have you ever had any experiences like that, Lindsay, where you've run out of something?
Well, probably the right size box and things like that. And I do think, just like listening to you talk about the tape and all of that, I think something just to bear in mind as well is, like, when you're ordering stock for Christmas, like, we're still in a bit of this, like, Brexit time. COVID still has an effect at the minute, so it could be things that normally don't take that long to be delivered actually could take a lot longer, and you might even struggle still this year to get them with the, you know, with the way things are. So I would definitely think about, you know, ordering early.
Actually, you know, I hadn't even thought about that because, with Brexit, things have changed with the way in which we are buying products from other countries. So, for example, our suppliers, as British people that we might have here in Britain, but they get from outside. So, for example, I buy my boxes from a company called Tiny Box, but they buy the boxes that I buy from them, they buy them from abroad.
Yeah.
And when Brexit kind of started to be, you could feel the effects happening, their box supply went down. They have managed to sort it out, but you don't want anything like that to just catch you off guard. So it is good to be on top of those things.
Definitely.
In advance. And especially as well, if you're planning on making new Christmas products, or you are planning on making products that you only make at Christmas, you need to make sure that, you know, you've got all the materials to make that happen.
Definitely.
Especially if you're going to make it in advance. So if you don't make to order, basically, and you make in advance, you need to be understanding when you need to have all your products made by. Any other note on that, Lindsay?
No, I think that's probably the main thing, is get organized early with it is definitely the best thing.
Part of the handmade business planner, and I'm saying that now, but by September it might have all have changed if I've managed to get my course out, so I might actually be editing this out completely. But as part of the handmade business planner, there's actually a section with your inventory and your product supplies listed out, where you can keep track of your inventory week by week. So this isn't just a Christmas thing, you know, this isn't just for Christmas. You should always be on top of your inventory, because there are other busy parts of the year, like Mother's Day, for example. So, but Christmas is obviously the big one. Being able to understand exactly how much of how each individual item you have. I think that's the point we're trying to make here. excuse me. So the next section that we'd like to talk about is understanding, and this will only apply if you've been around since before last Christmas, but understanding what sold well last year.
So I suppose, you know, going back, if either on your website or, you know, to your Etsy store, you know, going over what your sales for, you know, from September onwards, really, what was it that sold well? You know, did you make things that didn't really sell well? You know, so, and maybe you want to get rid of those and put on sale before, you know, well before Christmas, reduce those items down.
That's an excellent idea. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, so they're the things that I would, you know, definitely sort of think about.
I really like that idea about looking at what hasn't sold well, but you still have it made, so you don't want it to go to waste.
No.
So think about heavily reducing it. Now, I know that that might to some people think like, oh, but then I'm not making anything. But also, if it's sitting on your shelf and it's not going anywhere, you're equally not making anything.
No.
So you might as well make something rather than nothing.
This is it.
And that's normal for business. That is nothing against, like, I know that it can feel like it means that you can take it personally because you're like, I've made a product and people don't like it. People don't like me. You know, like that kind of internalization. Yeah. It doesn't mean that. Every business will have a flop.
Oh, yeah.
Probably multiple flops.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen products in Morrison's from different companies that have come and go. And they've had massive marketing spiels for it and everything. Spent a fortune. It's just not worked out.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with you. It's just that sometimes things just don't work out. So claw back some money rather than having it sitting and catching dust on your shelf. Claw back some money. So I love that idea. Love that for you. Right. But yeah, understanding what sold last year, going back through your sale pages of what you actually sold, but also your stats, what keywords were being used. Now, obviously, you know, things can change, you know, the moving with trends and stuff, but you can get an understanding of how people search for stuff. So, you know, I know that a lot of people buy for their grandma online, you know, they come and they buy a lot of jewelry for their grandma. So I know that the grandma keywords will go through the roof when it comes to Christmas. So like understanding those kinds of things. Yeah. And as the time goes on, you will really understand what sells better than other things. Yeah. So understanding that from your stats.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, actually, Lindsay, I know what we didn't mention, which you'd said to mention, was about props.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Props and packaging and bits like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think when it comes to your photos, it can be, you know, you want to set the scene for Christmas. You want people to know that this item is going to be really good for Christmas. So one way you can do that is just by swapping your normal props that you might have for Christmas or backgrounds, or, you know, by adding, you know, by using different photo apps and stuff like that. You can add sparkles and snow and all sorts of stuff, but give people the signs that this item is for Christmas, basically.
If you are walking around any physical shop when it's on the run up to Christmas, their props will be different. Their windows displays will be different. There'll be things on the shelf that's different. That's precisely the mentality that you need to be having in your own online shop.
Definitely.
So that people think, oh, yeah, it's Christmas here. There's definitely things that you could just get from Hobbycraft that you can reuse. You know, doesn't have to be a one-time thing. But your gift wrapping, you might have specifically Christmas-related gift wrapping that you're just offering at Christmas.
Yeah.
You need to have that in advance so that you can take photographs of it and you can upload those photographs into your listings. Do you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely a good thing to be prepared with.
Oh, another note actually that I'd written down that we talked about before we came on the call was care tips.
Yes. Now, that was a great idea from you, Anna. So, yeah, come, let's share what you do.
They're cards from Memories and More, double-sided, two cards. So on one side, I've got my logo, address, the 10% off purchase code for any future purchases. And then on the back of that first one is my shop mission. So, you know, it's just a few words. And then on the other side of the second page is how to look after the product. So this can not only connect to your customer because they're like, oh, you know, they want me to look after it. You know, it's not just, oh, they've sent me a product and I, you know, that's it, they've left me. I haven't. I'm explaining to you how to make sure that you get the best use out of it, how to make sure that it doesn't damage. And if you have any problems, how to get in contact with me.
That's brilliant.
So it's like a whole rounded customer service. So if you don't already offer something like that, I definitely recommend doing it for Christmas. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you like that, Lindsay?
I think that's a brilliant idea. And it's just, you know, for me, when selling handmade is all about creating that lovely customer experience. And I think by you having those care tips in there, that's just all part of creating that really special experience, Anna. So definitely something for people to take away from this episode.
And what I'll do is, excuse me, what I'll do is I will, in the show notes, I will link to where I get mine printed from, because they're another small business. So, you know, we can always support another small business. And I just use Canva. So I design everything in Canva and I upload them to the company and then they print them out for me. That's on Memories and More, actually.
God, I'm really sorry. Oh God, that's my iPad's in here. Let me just run and take it out. Sorry, I thought it was on
your
silent.
Face.
I was like,
it was like you were in an exam and then your phone was right.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about that. It's a good job you can edit. Oh dear. Not one of my blip moments again.
Next section was photography. Lindsay, was there anything specific about photography that you'd mentioned? I feel like I've written something down and I can't read my writing.
I think all it was for me, I mean, I do, and I've mentioned my props, so I just change those up and then I use like different photo apps and things like that. So I think for me...
Oh, what photo apps do you use? That's a good one.
So I use one called Lumiere, I think that's how you say it. And it just adds, I can add snowflakes and sparkles and things like that that kind of fit with my fairies that I make. So yeah, that's what I tend to do at Christmas. I add little things like that on and it just captures the eye then.
And that's really good for social media as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those are the perfect little additions for your social media posts.
Yeah.
So definitely make a note of that. I'll link Lumiere in the show notes so you can just click straight through. But so yeah, perfect example. The other things that I do in a similar sort of way, it's not necessarily snowflakes, but I do add baubles and little present boxes as in illustrated onto my shop banners.
Oh,
on
brilliant.
Etsy. Now yeah. I have Etsy Plus. So it's, I'm sure it's $7.99 a month. I think that's how much it is. I'll have to look. I should know that really. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's about $7.99 a month. And what you get with that is a scrolling carousel at the top of your, so your banner isn't static. I think it's 4 pictures that you get. And then you can also alter the size of your category pictures when you scroll down in your shop. So you can have it organized in various different ways. What I do is 2 big pictures and then 4 little ones underneath. And what I do with those pictures, because it's not a picture of a product, you can have a picture of a product, but you can also have it as a category picture. So I use that as an opportunity to put a Christmas related picture. So it'll be 1 or 2 or even a group of items in either in the gifting mode, or to just have tinsel or holly or something built into the picture. Again, I make all of these on Canva. It's not like I'm, you know, using something far out. But it just means that whenever anybody gets to my shop, they'll know straight away this person's ready for Christmas.
That's
so
it.
Just little things like that. Another way as well to highlight what sold well last year and what you anticipate will sell again this year is, especially if you have an Etsy shop, and you can do this on your own website. None of this is specific to Etsy. If you have your own website, you can absolutely change category photographs and banners and even add sparkle to your logo or whatever it is. You know, that's, you know, it's not Etsy specific. But what I do with my Etsy front pages, I go into custom mode and I put my best sellers at the top. So as soon as you come into my shop, it will be Christmas banner, probably Christmas logo, announcement, which is Christmas related, and then Christmas categories, bestsellers. That's the format of my shop.
Yeah, great tips there, Anna.
So, yes. So then the next thing that we should possibly move on to is like your titles and your tags. What do you do for your titles and your tags, Lindsay, for Christmas?
So I suppose I start putting Christmas in front of things, really. So like Christmas gift for girls, you know, Christmas craft gift, you know, those kinds of things. I start because, you know, it's very much, isn't it, about thinking, what are people going to type in? So, you know, who is your Christmas gift for? You know, then like some of my fairies and angels might be like Christmas tree topper and things like that. So I start to change the titles and the tags so people can find them now.
And the same with Etsy, you can go back, you know, over your previous year titles and tags. Your keywords. What keywords specifically Christmas related were used? What can you use again? You can use search tools like eRank or Marmalade to get ideas for that as well. I think that's pretty much standard. We won't go down the keywords too much. But the other thing that is good to start getting sorted is your Pinterest pictures.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a Pinterest specific Christmas board?
Yes, I've got one with like Christmas fairies, Christmas angels. Yeah.
Yeah. So that will come up in the algorithm. The board will be picked up.
Yeah.
So you can pin your Christmas related products to that board and it kind of gives an all rounded, this is definitely for Christmas. I will show this in search. You're giving the opportunity for the algorithm to really pick that information up. And at the end of the day, this is the kind of thing that you're doing for future. It's not just going to be a one, even if it's Christmas related, this is specifically for Pinterest, even if it's Christmas related and it dies down after Christmas, do not ever think that that means it's done, because Pinterest is evergreen. It will pick back up again next year.
Definitely.
Every person I know or listen to, when they talk about Pinterest, they will talk about their seasonal pins. Some people, I know this girl who had a pin. It was, Christmas decor or something. She's not a handmade seller. She's a blogger. But she has a Christmas decor pin that she pinned about 7 years ago on Pinterest. It's probably not that long, about 6 years ago. Well, perhaps it might be 7 years now. And every year at the same point, it starts to bring traffic back to her blog every year. And it's gone throughout the year. Nobody's looking for it. But at that same time every year, boom, goes back up again.
Yeah.
So whatever.
That's the doorbell. I'm going to have to go and get the doorbell. Hang on. Oh, God. I'd locked him out.
That is so funny. You've had the house phone, your iPad.
I don't know. God. And breathe.
How do you, as a customer, Lindsay, use Pinterest? Do you search for any products presents on Pinterest?
I'd be looking for like Christmas gift ideas, or if I get it in my head that I've perhaps seen something nice in a magazine, and like Christmas decorations and all things like that. So yeah, I definitely like to have a look on Pinterest, get a bit of inspiration. And yeah, definitely, I'm a bit of a Pinterest addict, really.
Do you like gift guides?
I've not really taken, I'll be honest, I've not taken much notice of gift guides before, really.
Really?
No.
I think it's possibly, I might be completely wrong, but I think it's possibly quite an American thing.
I was going to say, it sounds like an American thing.
I think it's coming here now. Yeah. The reason I say that is, do you subscribe to Not on the High Street?
No.
No, okay. So I do subscribe to Not on the High Street's mailing list. And they send out the most beautiful gift guide every year. I mean, it's thick. It's like a catalogue. It's, you know, it's a big deal. And I think to get featured in there is, you know, pretty exceptional for your business. But I take hints and tips from that gift guide.
Yeah.
Because I like the way they structure things. I like the way they do the photography. I like the way they talk about things. It's like a proper publication, but it's just for Christmas. They don't do it any other point in the year. It's just that one opportunity. So the reason I mention the gift guides is if you have a variety of products, which I'm hoping that we all do, you know, everybody listening here has a variety of products. And when I say variety, I don't mean different types of products in the shop. You might do, but I mean different items within the shop. You're not just selling one of one. You can create your own gift guide on Canva, and you can load that gift guide onto your Instagram, your Pinterest, your Facebook, your newsletter, your blog. So when I say gift guide, I mean literally you're taking a picture and you're having a little blurb underneath of why this is good for said person that it is good for. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Instagram has the option for you to upload your own guide. So, you know, it's something that is definitely worthwhile doing for handmade business owners. I haven't done it yet, but I think it's definitely something that needs to go on my list, my to-do list.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, really, if you've done it once, you only need to make a few tweaks each year and you can reuse that same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And especially if you're uploading it to Pinterest, it's evergreen. It's just going to keep coming back to you.
Yeah.
So now I did make a note again about idea pins. So have you looked into idea pins?
Well, I started off with them, and they were at the time, they were called story pins previously, but they weren't available to everyone. And I actually found I had really good results on those. So, you know, especially if I'd done a little video, I found like, you know, when I look back at them, some of them have just got thousands of views, which is really helping drive traffic to my Etsy store. So, yeah, I would definitely do an idea pin. It's the same kind of thing, but just they've given it a different name now. But yeah, they are a really good way to drive traffic and can be super quick and easy. Can be the same kind of little videos that you would put in your Etsy store for your products. You can upload to Pinterest to those story pins or idea pins as they are now.
Yeah, so if you've already got videos for your listing, you've already, you know, jumped on. How long are they?
I'm not sure the length of time now. They're not too long, I don't think.
So could you use reels?
I have added a reel, actually. I have added one.
So you've got reels.
So it's a 60-second one I've added.
Yeah, so there you go. You've got 60 seconds is more, because I've not actually used them yet.
But I'll tell you what it was. It was one my daughter actually created for me in TikTok.
Oh, well, wonderful.
But I put it on reels, and then I also had it on, I put it on Pinterest. That's doing well.
Now, that is what we like, repurposing content.
Yes.
we like to repurpose content.
Sprinkle it everywhere.
Absolutely. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. So, you know, those are perfect ideas of how to use Pinterest this Christmas.
Yeah.
So the final kind of section to talk about is what I like to call your housekeeping. So making sure these are, what's the word? These are things that you should be doing anyway. But if you haven't done so already, you must absolutely have this sorted for Christmas. So can I just list off my list, Lindsay?
Yeah, come on, Anna, let's hear it.
Right, every listing, so this is obviously Etsy specific, but if you have an online shop, the same things apply. You must have 10 photographs. You must. If you have an Etsy shop, you must have all 10 photographs. You must have all 13 tags. You must have a delivery profile set up for every country or every group of countries in the world, depending on where you sell to. You must have your FAQ filled out. If you don't have frequently asked questions because you're a new shop, look at somebody else's shop who's similar to yours. What are their FAQs? Those are the things that your future potential customers are going to ask. You need that sorted, because the less time you can spend answering questions, not saying you never want questions, but for the frequently asked ones, they should be available so that you're not missing out on a sale because somebody's waiting for you to respond to a question. They're still going to happen, don't get me wrong. But for the majority, if your FAQ's filled out, it shouldn't happen as much. Your announcement should be set up. So the announcement is a really good opportunity to kind of introduce yourself. If you've got any last dates, so every year, in fact, that's actually something that I didn't mention, which is quite surprising because that's quite important. That's one of the first things I do. I check each year what Royal Mail says is the last delivery date or the last postage date for delivery by Christmas. This changes every year. Last year it was quite far back and I took it a little bit further back. So I know exactly which date I am saying. If you don't order before that, I mean, I can never guarantee anything. I always say that I cannot guarantee anything when it comes to shipping. And every seller should know that, especially in current times. We cannot guarantee.
No.
It is just, it. We can't.
No.
We can give extra protection by you buying tracking and by you making sure you're buying in advance, but we can't guarantee. But I have those dates listed in my announcement. So, and they're different for each country. So obviously in England or in the UK, the shipping date will be closer to Christmas than it will be for, let's say, the States or Canada or Australia, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to have that. Also, a note I put in there about refunds. So I have a very simple line that says, the shop will not be processing any refunds for any parcels that do not arrive within the estimated Etsy guidance. It's absolutely okay to say that.
That's great.
Because I'm not going to give refunds if something hasn't arrived within the 7 to 14 working days, which I advise for abroad. I'm not, because Royal Mail even themselves has an extended period. I think they say like 28 or 32 working days, not days, working days.
That's a lot.
And that gives you a buffer. I'm not saying that all the parcels are going missing. It's very few and far between. And things will arrive within that point, but by having that kind of in your announcement gives you some security.
Yeah, definitely.
So those are the kinds of things I put in there. And the final thing is have your snippets ready. So for anybody that doesn't read your FAQ, have snippets ready so that if somebody messages you and you are busy doing something else, but you can see that that person is just asking us a question that you've already been asked before, you can automatically send a very polite snippet and just personalize it by adding their name at the top.
Yeah.
You can also have auto replies now on Etsy so that if somebody messages you from another time zone or, you know, over the weekend and you don't work, they can be sent an auto reply. You can put your FAQs in there as well so that you can answer the questions without them having to wait for you. Again, this is all about not missing the sale. That's what we're doing it for. And also to provide security for us as sellers. Those are the main things: photos, tags, delivery profile, FAQ, announcement, snippets, auto replies.
Great advice. Thank you so much for sharing them, Anna.
Felt like a big rant that did.
Yeah, no, but we all need to be on top of those things. So that's brilliant advice. Thank you for that. I think you were very thorough. So yeah, I can't think of anything else to add to that.
So we're nearing the end now. A kind of point I want to mention was about custom items.
Yeah, so obviously when you get a load of custom orders in, this can be really tricky. You know, and the last thing you want to do is overload yourself with, you know, there's a lot to do at Christmas, as we've already mentioned. So, you know, I know when I used to just sell from custom orders, I was like, it was frantic of, you know, I was working, my whole life was to a deadline. So be very mindful if you do custom orders, how many can you realistically fit in? Because what would happen to me, I'd be like, I'd get an order and be like, yay, and then be like, oh, I've got to make it now. Do you know what I mean? When you're overwhelmed and you want to spend time with the family doing stuff at Christmas as well, you don't want to be missing out because you've got all these custom orders. So really take your time to think about what's realistic for you to achieve. What are your thoughts on that, Anna?
Yeah, I mean I have all of my orders are, it seems kind of hypocritical, but all of my orders are made in real time. So I don't have any stock sitting waiting. But what I do have are excellent processes. So I know how to do things quickly. And I don't mean the making quickly. I just mean I've got systems and processes in place so that everything is done very organized. But because all of my pieces are quite customized and personalized, I can't make things in advance.
No.
So, but I have as much already made up as I possibly can. And I have all my things organized into boxes and labeled up properly. Now, I've sold at this point, I think I'm coming up to about 9,000 orders, if you take all of my shops into consideration. And I've managed.
Yeah.
You know? I've managed to do that. Obviously, I do this full time. So, you know, if that's what you're wanting to do, you can have more time to spend in your business because you're going to be doing it full time if you're getting that many sales. So if you are making custom items, as long as they're not too intricate, as much as you can make ready to ship, do that. But if you are making customized items, as long as you've got your systems and processes in place, it is possible to, you know, make to order, as I do it.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, 2 days a week now. During normal periods of the year, I make twice a week, usually Mondays and Wednesdays, although it has changed to Tuesdays and Thursdays recently, but usually it's Mondays and Wednesdays. And that's when I do all my making, and I have a 1 to 3 processing time. So I'm still within the, for Etsy, I'm still within the nice period of time for Etsy, for the algorithm.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, I just bump it up a little bit. I might make maybe 3 or 4 days, depending on which month and which week I'm at.
Yeah.
So there's ways to get around it. But what you just don't want is, like you've just said, Lindsay, is to be overwhelmed with that feeling of, oh, yeah, I've got sales. Oh, my God, I've got to go make them now.
Yeah.
Because that is a real feeling.
Yeah.
Try to find that balance.
Definitely. Great advice, Anna. I think we're done, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. That was a lot.
It was. I think we need to wish everyone a very happy Christmas. But not just like, I'm not wishing you season's greetings. To have a happy Christmas because you're going to be so organised.
Absolutely, yes. Happy selling. Yeah. And whatever you learn from this year, if you've never had good practices for Christmas before, or if this is your first time ever selling at Christmas, carry these on to next year.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, thanks so much for listening, everyone. I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as me and Anna have enjoyed recording it for you. If you've not signed up to the podcast newsletter yet, I'd love you to head over to our podcast website, The Handmade Business Podcast, and sign up. You'll get a free photography workbook, which is will be really brilliant to help you get ready for Christmas. There's lots of hints and tips in there, and we keep you up to date on all the latest podcasts so you never miss an episode. So I'd love you to sign up to that. But thanks everyone for listening today. We can't wait to speak to you again soon.
Definitely. Right, take care everybody. Bye.